Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In podcast, season 3, OG episode with myself and Reese. We don't have a guest on today, so hopefully the audio is nice and crisp because
there was a chance
we can speak really nice and close to the microphone
and give your ears amazing sensations.
Well, I'm quite close today. Bring yours a bit closer. There we go.
Is it, are we doing an ASMR?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, yeah. Have a sip of a drink, Finn. We do apologise. We were gonna talk about how much we've done subscriber wise, but everyone who's new has clicked off at this point. So we do apologise. However, we have gained a lot of subs recently. The last episode that came out 4 days ago with Josh Crogan, we are on 495. We're now on 570. So
571. Don't miss that one. Whoever that one is, sorry that you forgot about you.
So by the time in the next hour, we're probably gonna hit 573.
No, we'll be on 600.
So
to be fair, I reckon
growth is good.
We'll get 1,000 relatively soon.
Oh yeah, I'd imagine so. Which is quite cool for just a podcast, YouTube channel.
Yeah, it literally
channel.
Is just a podcast.
We've got a YouTube video of us training and stuff like that. But
that's one.
Yeah,
we'll have to do more stuff like that. We keep saying.
Yeah.
If you're not subscribed and
please.
You're looking at that button saying that says subscribe, please do click it. And also, if you do like the content and you do have Spotify, then please go over to Spotify, give us a rating, give us a follow on Spotify. We're nearly 1,000 followers on Spotify, which is mental. So we do appreciate you all. Today we don't have a guest on.
We were going to get a last minute.
We almost had a last minute guest, but we didn't get him on. But we'll get him on for a laugh at some point.
Why laugh?
Just be funny, wouldn't it? It'd be good to have him. It'd be good to have him here. It would be a laugh. We won't ruin who it could or couldn't be, but I think
his perception,
we'd take the piss out of him, but he'd be sound and we'd actually be like, oh, he's not that bad.
Yeah, there could be a chance it could be a car crash though, and it's like,
well, that's better.
If randomly, guys, you see a special guest and it's 25 minutes long, it's because we've had to make a cut and say go home.
See in a bit.
Go home, mate. Nah, please.
He'd be sound. We've got a few people that we've got a list of guests that we do want to get on.
Yeah,
again, let us know if there's anybody that you want on, but we have got a list of guests and we're gonna sort of work our way through. We've got some upgrades that we need to make to the studio first, just to sort of improve the audio, improve the setup, so that when we do get guests on, we get better content for them as well. It almost pulls guests and bigger names to the podcast. So yeah, stay tuned for all of that. But today is just a bit of a catch-up from the previous week. So I'm doing a D-volume week / couple of sessions just because I feel a little bit trashed. It's been quite a while since I've pulled back in any way.
We can tell.
Since Morocco.
Pushing so hard.
Just pushing so hard. Yeah. But no, to be fair, training's been really good. Training's been the most productive it's been for probably as long as I can remember, to be fair. For probably forever, which is cool. So yeah, just having, I'm not even classing it as oh, it's D volume, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. I'm just doing what I feel like doing. Yeah. So today I was I'm not going to do the leg extension. I did the leg extension because I felt like doing it at the end.
Off plan leg extensions.
Off plan adductor as well.
Oh, I did the adductor actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
But usually I'd be right, this is my program. This is what I'm going to do. And sometimes we might do an extra bit here or there, especially as we progress through a mezzo, if we feel like we can get away with it. But more often than not, I'll do what is planned in and I feel good after it. I feel trashed after it, but I feel sound. Whereas in the last few sessions, I noticed that I was resenting doing some of the sets. And towards the end of a set, I did a post when you should pull back or how to know when to pull back. And for me, it's as soon as I start to notice that I'm actually thinking at the end of a set and I'm almost being a bit of a pussy and I'm what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm thinking oh, it's hard. Why am I thinking that? As soon as I realise that, I'm okay, I'm pretty trashed. Because more often than not, I enjoy those reps and I'm I don't think, come I just sort then. Of attack it.
Yeah.
As soon as that internal monologue changes from come on then to, oh, it's hard. Oh my God, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm right, I'll just pull back, have a couple of D volumes. I probably have pull, push and legs, to be fair, because I still don't feel great. So I'll just have those at reduced volume. And I quite like the term reduced volume rather than D volume. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, but D volume, I think everybody just says that now and they think it has to be the exact same. You do one set less on everything. Yeah. If you're already doing one set, you're not just going to not do that exercise.
D volumes, we've only ever done a few where it was one set less. When you were coached by AJ, that was D volume, one set on everything. But then I remember
now we just reduce it a bit based on how we're feeling.
How you feel.
And then to be fair, I had a good question on my Instagram about it and it was how do you escalate back up? And I was to be fair, more often than not, we kind of keep it low and then just work it back up over time anyway.
Yeah.
Or you go, if you feel great, you go kind of straight back to where you were.
Yeah.
But like, generally, I'll be like, well, that D volume session or that D volume week, I felt mint.
Yeah, so let's bring it back down slightly
and then like work it back up again, as I sort of would do anyway throughout a mezzo. So yeah, like that's kind of where I'm at. Where about you? What's the thing with you? What's the crack?
Everything's all good. I'm deloading from, so similar actually, Fatigue Management 101 by Finn and Reese, or Reese and Finn. I'm deloading from Thursday's my last session. So we've moved our sessions around this week. We've got a content shoot.
We had to because we're famous.
Yeah, we've got a shoot with like, some people want to take photos. Armani. Yeah, we got an Armani shoot. We've got a Conte shoot. Pete, where's the sign, bro? Sort it out. Please, come on.
Actually, I'm going to bring that up.
Yeah, I'm going to literally, that's the first thing we say before that they take any photos or do reels of us.
We're not doing any photos. Where's... I'll do reels though.
I do reels. We fucking love
reels. I hope there's reels involved.
Yeah. Any reels? Any reels, Pete? We're going to say to Pete, we need the sign so we can.
Finn, can we just take a photo? Nah, please. No. Can we do a reel?
Can we do a reel? Any reels? Any reels going, guys? So yeah, we got a shoot on Thursday. So we basically have moved our sessions around slightly. So instead of doing push pull legs,
it's quite a good lower, talking point. As
it's
to
upper
what
lower
we've done.
Rest push pull legs. And to be fair, we yeah, I actually do think yeah. Down. And I think a lot of times you can often like, let's say for example, if we were hinging on the pull session, we probably wouldn't want to do that before. But worst case scenario, if we were to say. Let's say, can I train push and can we swap push and pull? Yeah.
It works out okay with this split because you have obviously upper, lower, rest, and then push or pull doesn't really matter which one you do because, again, if we were doing a hip hinge, it'd be different.
Yeah.
But, we do a bent row, but still, like.
Bent row? I don't do a bent row.
No, you do.
Even know what an upper back shrugs.
No, yours is
an RDL?
Fucking yeah, buddy row. Like, that is the epitome of a yeah, buddy row. Mine's like a strict nobody row, to be fair. I don't know. Mine's like an in-between. Mine's set up to be a nobody row, but then I perform it as a yeah buddy row.
Okay.
Might as well just not use
the
deficit.
But with shitload. And like, so it's like people look at it and think, because it's like so little load, they're like,
no, they think he's
form.
Actually rowing properly. They look at yours and go, what the fuck is that? And then you get hate for it in the Conte chat.
No, I just get hate by one person.
Yeah, everyone else. We have a separate chat that's not got you in it.
Okay. And every single Conte guy, they're like, yo, fuck.
Reese's rows are awful. And I'm even in it. I made it.
You're the administrator. I'm the host. I made that.
I messaged Remy and I was like, why do I keep calling Remy?
Yeah.
It's because he looks like Remy and he's got no muscle.
Looks like one of his female clients.
I'm joking. If that gets to him, to be fair, like Yemi's sound and he looks fucking ridiculously good. Yeah. So, yeah. But basically, Yemi hates Reese's Rose.
We spoke about this in the last one.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we've already got it.
He's living rent free in your head. It comes up every time.
No, I'm living rent free in his head when it comes to my Rose. I think we're both obsessed with each other. I think it's sexual tension.
Yeah, it is.
I think we both just need to kiss each other.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Do that on Thursday.
Yeah, so we've got a shoot. Long story short, so we moved our sessions around. Like I said, in like a most weeks, you could easily get away with it. It's not going to make a massive difference. Like, and so therefore, we're doing this on a Tuesday, and then usually we do it on a Thursday. So like Thursdays we'll be training. So Thursday is my last training session. We're doing pull, but I'm going to do a bit of upper. Like, I'll do pull and then a few presses, just because I won't be training for like 5 or so days. And to be fair, it's definitely needed. Like, I'm similar to Finn, not as much to be fair in the sets, but it's more so like my recovery after sets and like getting into a set. Like, I'll be somebody who can just like switch on in a moment, but like if I'm like having to really be like put a song on,
different songs,
trying to find a song, I'm putting a song on, I'm like, oh, there's nothing, and eventually I can always find it, I can battle through it, but that initial, I feel like at times I remember Sanaya saying it to me, like when she trains with me, she almost is like slightly like, oh, like she wishes that she had that, like not like get up and go, but like when I'm training, I'm just like, yeah, let's fucking train. I'm always like that. But if I'm at all where I'm a bit sluggish, a bit it's a bit more of a challenge to get into a session, like or a set or whatever. Like the thought of doing something really challenging, I'm usually like, let's fucking go. But if I think,
I just class it as the intent to train.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say to my clients. Like, as soon as you notice that intent to train isn't there, or is not as high, and you sort of like, oh, I've got another set to do, or like you're not like expecting people to be excited to go to the gym every day, but like if you're almost like not wanting to go, or when you're there, you're like wanting it to be done, thinking about going home. It's like, that's probably a sign to pull back. But then I also think you don't need that. That's not a sign to be like, you need days off.
No.
I think that's a sign that you, if everything else is in line, let's say, you know, stress is managed, sleep is good, nutrition's good, etc. Then it's probably just a case, just pull your volume down a bit.
Yeah.
Right, and then just assess from there. And more often than not, you'll do that. Maybe reduce volume by like 30 to 50%, and you'll be like, oh, I feel fucking mint.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, keep your volume there then, and then we'll just work it back up based on when you feel like you're ready to. Yeah. And then usually they'll go, oh, hey, mate, can I add another set here?
Yeah. And then when you want, the thought of doing more, that's when you're like, okay, that's when it's good. Yeah. That's when it's good.
It's really very simple, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, it's like, this is my set plan and this is what I've got to do. And it's almost over-analysis. And it's like, realistically, if you do your session, like I saw someone post their session, I think it was today, and they put in the caption, like, feel like I could probably do more, so I'm going to add another exercise. And it's almost like, you should already have probably added that. Like, if I got to the end of a session, I'm thinking, like, I could do more.
Yeah.
Do more. Like, I rarely ever get
or
to...
you don't need to add another exercise, just add another set or add a different sort of technique at the end of a session or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, a little bit of a break. I personally really like devolume approaches, but I think for me, especially, like, my strength, like, my joints, it's mostly my joints how I feel. Like, my actual musculature and recovery is relatively sound, but, like, my knees, my elbows, like, my wrists, like, today I was, like, doing my check-ins, and I could just feel, like, my scapula, like, my left side really aching, and I was getting... I've had that a lot.
24/7.
Yeah.
My left, honestly. Like.
No, but like I was having to literally, I had to sit back in the chair and I was like, oh, I feel like I've just done like, I don't know, a load of farmer's carries. Like my back was just trashed.
That's what my left side feels like all the time. It's fucking annoying.
But for me, I never get that.
When I'm more fatigued, it's more noticeable though. Yeah. Like usually I'm like, yeah, it's normal. But like when I'm pretty battered, it's like,
that's the same as me like going downstairs.
I get out of bed and I'm like, what the fuck? I feel like I've just like been hit by a train and I've just got out of bed. Like usually when I wake up and I'm fresh, I feel like, oh, I've had a decent sleep, I feel all right.
Yeah.
Whereas like towards the end of it, say towards the end of a meso, just when I need to pull back a bit. Like I don't mind deloads, but I only really like to take them when I mentally feel like I need a break or like joints, but even so, like if you take a devolume approach, your joints still get a break. It's not in the same way that it would if you just didn't train, but again, it's different depending on like level of strength.
Yeah, like if I do a devolume, I could still absolutely smash myself with a good amount of load. So that's why I think I will have devolume rotations, but I think it will be kind of interchange. And also, like if I'm looking upon, let's say pushing through back up the end of this little like pullback, it kind of makes sense. So I was like, I prefer to for me in this situation.
Going into
it. Like it's been like I think 8 weeks since the last like deload, which was like just before Christmas, like just over like the 20th, like 24th or 25th. So it's been like 7-8 weeks. It's been like probably the most productive like 7 to 8 weeks when it comes to like training. We're in a good groove training wise. Body weight's in a good spot.
It's nice,
I feel really good
compared to where we were.
Like, yeah, definitely.
Maybe like around Christmas.
Oh, it's lovely. Like
holidays.
It's proper
gyms.
Good. Like I can sleep well. Everything's in a really good spot. Where like back end of the last year, it was like I'd go away to Vegas and I dropped 5 kilos and I was like, right, time to eat back up.
I gained 12.
Yeah,
gained 12. Didn't I gained like 23 pounds
and
looked like 50
like 50 pounds just but whatever, we'll leave it there, and had the worst tan ever.
I didn't have any tan.
That's what I mean.
I had like a negative tan.
Yeah, pale as anything. So yeah, it was like I pretty much had like I went away Vegas, dropped weight, New York, dropped weight, trying to like walk around. Couldn't finish my meals.
Because you don't finish your meals.
I was finishing my meals. I was eating. I swear, if you were to live with me, you would be like, if we were to live together, you would be, I'm not saying impressed, but like, I don't ever not eat a meal. It's just when I'm going out, if I'm only eating 4 meals, I'll always eat more than what I'd always get more than what I'm going to be able to eat, and I'd have it as a bit of a, I'll just eat what I can.
I've lived with you at times in Vegas. I lived with you in Ireland when we were with Jack Buff.
My food wasn't that high then, though.
Yeah, you were still missing all your meals.
No chance.
You're still obsessed with Jack's Ninja Creamy.
What? No, I just remember it was the I can't announce the way that it was, but he had that way that was quite nice. Not Conte, though.
It was CMP.
It was CMP,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember him telling me all about it. And it was funny because he was so obsessed with it. And I was like, I don't really care, but I'm just going to go along with it.
I didn't realise how fucked he was until we went and stayed with him.
Yeah, he was proper battered.
But he looked fucking good.
He looked really good, yeah. But anyway, less about that. It's in a good spot. Body weight's in a good position. Feel like really sound. And yeah, definitely like kind of like, not crossroads, but like I got my bloods done. They're relatively sound. I say relatively sound, they're sound. I cruised for 11 weeks, so I was natty for 11 weeks, mate. Well, I say natty, I was natty plus. So
what was your cruising dose?
200 milligrams. Or 200 milligrams of androgen load. So that's 150 tests and then 50 primo. So
not actually a lot.
No, what do you reckon my cruise to be like? Oh, I'm cruising on 500 milligrams.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if you'd have said 300. I wouldn't have been like, what?
No, but then you look at the, like, especially in a pullback phase. If it was a pre-prep sort of phase, I think there's times and a place. Like, when I was, it was 300 milligrams post-prep because I wanted some like slight benefit when it comes to, like, I'm eating more.
When you weren't eating, my body weight, your meals, you just I'll get away with it.
I was post-prep, I was binging every day, mate. I was constantly off plan.
You and Sanaya.
Yeah, me, more so me, mate. Just uncontrollable.
You are a bad influence on it.
No, it's the opposite, mate. I couldn't fucking eat. My stomach was battered. So I was like, right, I just need to be able to rid of the effects of taking Superdrol for about a week or two when my stomach was fucked.
Do you think that fucked you?
Definitely, yeah. That was, I think Superdrol, because I kept it in from the first show peak into the second. And then I pretty much like took it for like 2 days after, took it out, and then had it in for another week. So over like a 4 week period, is in for like 3 weeks. And you'd only really want it in peaks, but I didn't want it to fluctuate when it comes to like losing fullness, yeah, then into
have
another
like
show.
2 days where you don't have it.
Yeah, and then it like ends up just being a bit of a mess. And I definitely noticed, like, I didn't get my bloods done for 7 weeks, but if I had got them done, it would have been like pretty, like, my just general sort of liver, like, yeah, kidneys, all that sort of stuff would have been pretty smashed. And then as a result of that, you're also coming from an extremely toxic position, not only just PDs, but deficit, just from a deficit, being really lean. So that was probably
the aggression of it.
Yeah, and that, I remember like saying to you, like, we were like doing the food, and I was like, man, I can't eat. Like, I'm genuinely like not hungry. Like, how am I this lean and I can't finish a fucking large fries? Like, I'd be eating, and I was like almost getting like not like acid reflux, but it felt like that. I've never had that, but that's what I imagine. It would almost be like, I'd eat and I'd feel like the meal's sitting here.
That is like acid reflux. Yeah. You probably were having it. Like,
yeah.
I say that to Shannon. Like, I get heartburn, but like it's hardly. And Shannon's like, I've never had it. And I'm like, you probably have. You just don't
realize, because
you're not classing it as heartburn. Because it's not like your heart feels like it's on fire. Yeah. Like, it's just like a bit of indigestion. You feel like the food's not fully settled.
Yeah. So that was like pretty much the case post prep. So it was the actual opposite. I was probably eating. I remember the day I finished, because I said this before on the podcast, like, Sanaya was still prepping. I ate less than I did for the last week. Like, the day after prep, I literally stuck to plan, and my first meal was less food than I would usually eat in a peak.
Yeah, but that's because your peak food was stupidly high.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's not like I'm gonna be like,
was more than like off-season food.
Yeah, it was like 6,000 to 7,000 calories. Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, it was like, I remember eating like 3,500-4,000 calories, and I was like, I don't think I can eat more. So I had to wait for that. But anyway, 300 milligrams was what I ran. Like, let's say that was 200 test, 100 primo. And then since then, it was the like pretty much I pushed up, had that push up, got bloods done. They're fine. Which I imagine they should be. They were fine after prep. They weren't that bad. I've only been enhanced now for what, 2.5 years, so realistically 2.5 years, like, I've only been over a gram's worth of like peak androgens for literally since prep of last year. So obviously it got a bit higher in the push-up, but like not to the point where it's like I'm not taking 3 fucking grams or 4 grams a gear. I'm not an idiot when it comes to stuff like that. But at the same time, like, this next push, I probably like, I in my head I'm like, right, I want this year to be like quite a, not a big year for growth, but I want to be like, right, cool, I want to see how much, not I can push it, but I'm willing to push a bit more risk wise relative to, not reward, but relative to health, just based off the fact that, okay, I've got a year of growth, let's see if I can kind of make a claim for, let's say, how much muscle mass I need to put on. And also, I don't want to be taking years off from this point. Like, if I was to compete the next time I compete, I'd like to be able to compete in, have a 6 month off season and be able to compete again. Do you get what I mean? And the next time I compete I don't want it where I'm like, right, off season again for 18 months,
yeah,
2 years, you know. So it's like, this year in my head, like, there was a chance, I've said to you, like I said, there's a chance I was going to turn into a prep, but I know I look really good, I'm happy with how I look, but I also do need to be bigger. And as much as like, I think at times it, like Jack for example was like, I had a client say to me, my mindset after prep towards the end of prep, you know, when I was like, I'm just a shit bodybuilder, let's see how things go, I think I've took that a little bit into my off season, where I probably speak like, I'm a bit shit, when in reality I'm really not. I think for an amateur at my age, for how long I've trained, I actually think I'm pretty good. But I don't want to be just a pretty good amateur. I don't want to be like a top three at a Tubro show or a win at a PCA show. I want it where, like, I compete the first time properly as a bodybuilder and it's like, oh shit, Reese is a really fucking good amateur. That's not to say I'm going to go for my fucking pro card first time. I don't want that to be the case.
You never, but it does depend on who turns up. Yeah. You could be really good, but there could be two really better.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm talking placings people. Relative to actually a visual. Like, I want a winning, let's say, amateur regional level physique the next time that I compete. I don't want it to be like, oh, well, you won, but the lineup was shit. Or like, if I got third but I looked at the photos and was like, oh, I just came up against two guys who are like pro level, then sound like, so like, I compare a lot to, like, let's say when I stood next to Guy who's competed loads of times, and like, all I need is time.
all I need is more density. Yeah. All I, like, structurally, I was wider than him. Like, I was a lot leaner than him. Fucking, especially through the glutes and hamstrings. Jesus Christ, Fittis. Give me the fucking win. Jeez. Like, off-season hamstrings and glutes. What the fuck? He just had triple my arms. And, like, his chest was just a lot meatier.
He did just look a lot bigger.
Yeah, he just looked bigger. But, like, I think structurally, if we were both maxed out, I'd do him. Like, because I'm considering his age and how things are, I just need that time. And especially as well, I think it's one where you have to earn the right to spend time at a strong position. And then the longest amount of time you can spend there, that's usually when you grow. So, like, if you think about, let's say, my strength now, if I was to spend a year from this, it just, even, obviously, I'm going to be progressing, but even just doing the same sort of stuff, that's going to show in a physique. Like, if I'm bent rowing or stood up,
throwing some weight
if
around.
I'm just throwing weight around, but if I'm, like, let's say, hinging, like, 7+ plates for the next fucking 18 months or 14 months, and I start prepping, I'm prepping for next year, my back's going to be pretty good. Like, my hamstrings are going to be good. My hamstrings, all right, but they need to be bigger. And, like, I don't know, I think it's one of those where it's like, right, if I can push the boundaries in all aspects for this year, get myself into a position where I'm like, right, if I ever compete again, which I will do next year, it will be a case where I don't then need to take more than a year off. It can be like, I can do next year, be a very, very, very good amateur. That's the goal. Then into 2026, and that would probably be pro qualifiers, not aiming for a pro card, but just seeing where I stack up at the top, top level, let's say abroad shows. And then from then, it would probably be a case of, right, pro card. Like, that would be probably the goal. And it would be step by step, taking my time, but just getting myself the foundations now. And I think if I was to compete this year, it would be a case where I'd win some mid-level shows. I'd be pretty good for my age and for how long I've been doing this. But also, I'd be like against some big, big, big fucking boys. I would just look like...
Your back would be fat.
Yeah, my back would be fat. I just need to...
You need to sort that out. You need to get, like, a liposuction surgery on your back.
Do you reckon?
So fat.
It's funny. I feel like anybody who... I think a lot of people... Again, I've had people say, it's not that bad. And I'm like, no, it is. Trust me.
Don't lie to
if you could see me in person, you would look at me from the front and be like... Even now, you'd be like, shit, you're fucking lean. Like, my quads are striated. Like, my calves are peeled. My arms are always really lean. My chest, I've got a good midsection. Like, I've got... Like, my skin's pretty thin. Turn to the rear. Like, what? So yeah, so it's almost a case where, like, I look at it and think, as I said, like, turn to the rear. Like, my glutes get really lean. Like, they got really lean last year. My glutes wouldn't need to be leaner. They just need to be bigger. My hamstrings got extremely lean. My hamstrings are lean now, but then my lower back, and just, if anything's wrong, just my mid-back. Like, it's just how my back seems to hold, like, meat. It looks cool in the way of, like, density, but I know it's not density. I know it's just body fat. And especially now that I've actually got some erectors, it makes it look worse. Like, I feel like the best my back's ever looked was when I was like probably 19, yeah. 18, no muscle, but I just had like a men's physique looking back, and it was like,
it'll be better, you know, this time around.
Yeah,
especially
definitely,
like, if you manage throughout the prep, if you don't just dig and dig and dig, like,
yeah,
because then your front just gets flat.
Yeah, I think especially next time it will be a case where, like, I'd like to, because realistically, like, right now I'd say, like, from the front I'm like, no, I'm not stupidly close, but I'm close enough to the point where, like, I'd be very lean to start a prep now, and I feel sound as I do now. So it would be a case where I'd probably break it down and have a pre-prep phase, but get, like, really, really, really lean, then hold and slowly build food up. And then be a case where, like, the prep begins, but it's just my posterior.
Back prep.
Yeah, it's a back prep. My front's
you
peeled.
You can do, like, you know, I reckon it'd be a good idea. Would be like, do a 8 to 12 week pre-prep.
Yeah.
Then have like a 12 to 16 week, maybe, yeah, not even that. Maybe,
no,
like,
I was thinking less, like,
maybe
8 to 10.
8 to 12, yeah, again, holding kind of phase. Where,
yeah,
you might put on like a few kilos,
yeah,
but,
yeah,
nothing major.
Yeah.
And then do another 8 to 12, where it's literally, you've just broken up the prep into two.
Yeah.
With like a little break in, like, well, an extended diet break,
yeah,
in between.
That's what I was thinking. So it's a case of,
and then even,
like,
during that, like, second stint, I'd probably be having like refeeds every week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was that's one thing I definitely,
you wouldn't
learn,
need that,
like,
in pre-prep.
Yeah. I would be a case where I'd be like, especially with how much muscle I have now in comparison to previous years, like, it would be, especially with me, like, I'm not Jack Eagles round and bubbly. Like, I'm there's pros to my physique, but I'm not the standard sort of extremely round and bubbly dude. The second my chest goes flat, my chest looks horrendous, and my delts then look stupidly overpowering. My arms just get really stringy. So it would be a case of hopefully having enough muscle mass to hold, because my legs never run flat. Like, even if I'm doing, like, for example, last year for the prep, like, doing stupid amounts of cardio, stupid amount of steps, like, my legs were, like, probably one of my best body parts, and I wasn't even prioritizing them. So my legs are like something I don't really need to worry about, and I've added a lot of muscle there. And then it would just be a case of having enough high days to maintain fullness, and also not being a fucking pussy with high days. I was speaking to James Hollingshead. James was saying, like, and again, I'm not James Hollingshead. I don't know if I spoke about this on the podcast.
We've spoken about it.
And James was saying, like, his refeeds, and he was saying to me, because I was chatting to him about it, and he was saying, what were you doing for refeeds? Because I said, oh, I was struggling to get full. I was like, I don't know how the fuck you do it. And I was telling him what I would do, and he was like, yeah, you, for someone like even your size then, especially next time you prep, you need to be doing like triple that. Like, he was telling me, he's like, again, he's fucking James Hollingshead, but it was like, I think it was like two burgers, all the sides added on, a large fries, a shake, and then he'd get back, and if he can get more food in, like, if his stomach feels good, he'd be like, I should eat more. And he was like, and I'd wake up the following day like 6-7 pounds up, but within 3 days I've already gone through that. And then I get it to a new low. And like, for me, it was like, well, I was running like 800 carb, and then like, I was having a burger and fries, but I couldn't finish the fries. It was like, I was getting one burger. And in reality, it's probably a case where, again, I think it's through inexperience and almost thinking, like, when you're in that prep based setting, you micromanage and analyze everything. Like, Finn was fucking writing down his onions and being like 12 calories onions, lettuce 6 calories, like ketchup, I'm gonna bring x amount of this. And it's like, I feel like at times, especially when you are a bigger bodybuilder, just being like, right, this is a time to eat, let's fucking eat. Like, you listen to any old school bodybuilders, Fuad would say, like, he'd get given the night off from Chad,
just go and
he'd literally be like, what, okay, I've got 4 hours, pizza, dessert, anything.
I don't think that is a good way,
but I think especially when you get into higher levels of musculature, it makes sense to be like, right, you actually do need to fill up.
I think more so just from a like volume standpoint, because if you were to try and get in, let's say, 8,000 calories from quote unquote clean foods, like, it's going to be difficult. Whereas if you just go
2,000 gram of carb, bro,
you sound
carb drive,
a whole tub, just put some water in it.
That would be, how much carb drive or carb powder, highly regulation, how much do you reckon you could do in a sitting, like, what, until you're throwing up or shitting yourself? Do you reckon it has milk like effect where it starts to ferment?
I think your body would just reject it. Like, you'd be fine, because it'd just be fluid. Like, if you had a 2 liter jug like that with 500 grams of it in, you'd probably be like, oh, all right. But then by the time you've had it, you'd be like, oh my god, like, you wouldn't get full drinking it, I don't think.
No.
Like, other than just fluid in the stomach, but like, when your body realizes that had 500 carbs in, you're probably like, oh my god.
I remember when I was like in my teens, when I used to play five-a-side, I'd do a Ben and Jerry's in the microwave afterwards, and it was like, so Ben and Jerry's microwave, because I was like, I'm just getting in calories. I played football, and it's like, I'm not gonna be able to get in the calories what I burn. But Ben and Jerry's microwave, to the point it was like water, and I'd literally just neck it, throw it in the bin. And I remember, like, afterwards I was like, feel fine, go upstairs. I don't feel fine.
Like, throwing up.
Yeah, it was bad, but it's fun, because like, stuff like that as a teen, like, you,
it's
just
mental. Like, at the time, you don't even think anything of that. You just, like, I used to, obviously, like, when you're growing up, you don't fucking weigh your food out or anything.
No,
but like, I remember, like, I'd get back from football, and like, I'd always have a massive bowl of cereal.
Yeah,
but like, I say a massive bowl of cereal, like, it would have been like 300-400 grams. Like, I'm not even joking. It'd be like a full, you know, like a full tub of Curiously Cinnamon.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like 400 grams a tub, four or five. And I have the whole thing.
Yeah,
I just have the whole box, and it's like, now I think, how the fuck did I do that? But you've played for 90 minutes or whatever, and you're like absolutely battered from it. Your body just soaks it up. Like, but then when you start to have that bodybuilding mindset, I just wouldn't do that. No matter, even if I felt like I could or I should, or if I was told, do it, it's good, it's going to be like, it's going to be helpful, you're going to look like this in the morning.
Yeah,
I'd still be like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
like, I'll have rice, or you know what I mean. Like,
I'm going to have a clean meal.
Yeah, not, like, especially, I feel like having that
300
mindset,
grams of cereal of sugar, and then like 40 grams of fat.
Yeah, like now, like, especially, like, I was saying it, I think I said it on the last podcast. Yeah, when we were chatting with Tim, and I was like, now, like, when I have like any kind of off plan food, like, I just want good quality food,
the nutrients.
Yeah. I don't want sweet. Like, or like, I love dessert food and stuff.
Finn had a dessert literally 6 days ago.
Yeah, because it was Valentine's Day.
See,
I didn't have a meal. We went for.
Oh, I gotta have Valentine's Day. Oh, you don't even like Valentine's Day.
I don't even like Valentine's Day unless I get dessert.
Unless I get dessert.
No, but it was like, choice of going for a meal or going for dessert. And I was like, well, and it was quite late by the time the film had finished. But anyway, like, I don't feel like, oh, I want to have this burger or like,
yeah.
Whereas like after prep, like,
yeah, because, of course, you're going to think like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's like, it's anything that's different. Yeah, yeah. Whereas now it's like, I just want good quality food. Like, yeah. My diet at the minute, I really like, because it all is like really good, high quality, like nutrient dense. It makes me feel good. Like, digestion's good. But coming out of a prep, you just want like, it's like the novelty of something that you haven't had for ages.
No, I think it's, I fully get that. Like, but I also think at the same time, like, it's funny. I guarantee the next time you diet, it will change your perception pretty significantly when you come out of the diet, because you won't get as lean and you'll be like, oh shit, like, I can just build my food up and I don't really want to eat off plan. Because like, coming out of a prep, like, again, like, I'll always say I'm never that food focused, but I will go through moments where like the thought of going out for a meal or having this or trying this, I'm like, oh, that sounds nice. And like, let's say, for example, I'm quite good at just laughing it off and just being like, yeah, just shut the fuck up, just eat your food. But at the same time, when I'm like, let's say, for example, a high day now, the thought of having like two big bowls of cream of rice, I'm like, oh, I'd rather not. Like,
yeah, I'd go out.
Yeah, or I'd rather do this, and I'd rather actually enjoy a meal or enjoy this. Or like, it's always funny how your perception changes. Like, for example, Sanaya loves cookies. And like, let's say there was a time, obviously, when my food was at the highest peak, I was having cookies. But the thought of having a cookie now, I'd be like, I don't fucking want a cookie.
Yeah.
Even though I've dieted for 7 weeks and I'm like 15 kilos down, the last thing I'd be thinking of, but after a prep, the thought of having a cookie, I'd be like, oh, that sounds nice. Yeah. And like, again, 99 times out of, I think I had two cookie dealers after prep, like last year, like for the first 4 months, and then it was like one a day when I was fucking fat.
Cookie dealer blocked us.
Yeah, cookie dealer blocked us. But at the same time, like now, the thought of it, I'm like, Sanaya can have them. I'll just sit and have my usual meal. Like, I sat the other day, we've been watching The Wire. I've already watched The Wire. It's really, really good. But we've been started watching
that again.
Oh, mate, it's class. It's one of those where it's like, it's similar to Breaking Bad. There's so much stuff that happens that you could watch it again.
See, I feel like I wouldn't watch Breaking Bad again unless it's like another 10 years. I watched it. I must have watched it about 10 years ago with my family, and then I think, I've forgotten it all.
Yeah.
But I hadn't.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, it's good, but I wouldn't watch it.
The Wire is a fair bit more in depth than Breaking Bad, because Breaking Bad's just about like the family, like where The Wire's about the city, Baltimore. So anyway, if anyone's watched Wire, it's really good. But Sanaya, we've been watching that. We're like 7 or 8 episodes deep, and she was like having cookies and stuff, and she actually cried. She had tears in her eyes because she missed the cookies.
You told me not to share that with anyone. Now you're telling the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's funny.
I'd already told Shannon.
It's been about a week. So after like a certain period of time, it helps. It passes.
That's fucking weird, mate.
That is a bit weird. She didn't know. She wasn't in tears, but she was just like,
you told me that. No, cried.
She was like, this is really nice. I was like, you're gonna cry? She was like, I think so. I egged her on, and then she was like, I think I'm crying. And I was like, what the fuck? Fair enough, eat your cookies. And I was just sat there, and I think I had for my next meal, I had like a bagel thin and 250 grams of egg whites. About,
like, as if you don't eat anything, when I guarantee with Sanaya, you do.
Oh, mate, I have had...
You had pancake day the other day.
Yeah, pancakes on Sunday. Yeah, and then if it's an off-plan...
The other day you went out for food.
That was Valentine's.
You're supposed to be dieting, mate.
I'm loads of weight down. No, I rarely ever sit until maybe like when I was like peak off season, I was definitely having snacks with Sanaya if she's having something. But like, mate, we've only ever gone out. If I was to show you our food ranking tier list that we've got on our notes, honestly, since prep, we've probably had maybe 7 or 8 meals out differently, like to different places. Like when we were in New York, we were eating out most night or every night.
Yeah.
When we're in like places, but like rarely ever will it be a case where we'll like go out for food. Like when we went to the Liverpool game, Liverpool v Chelsea, I just brought my meals. Like we don't ever really, we go out for walks and we do stuff that doesn't really usually situate around food. We'll go to the cinema. Like Sanaya will usually get a popcorn. I won't. Like,
yeah, Shannon always gets
popcorn. I never will have anything like that. So it's not where, I definitely have times where I eat off plan, but I also am like, I will go for the occasion. I eat off plan more with my mum if I was to look at anything, and that'll be like when I'm in an off season, probably one time a week. But like in an off season, I rarely ever go out for a meal.
Used to be dinner like every Friday. We'd have pizza with your mum, and I'd get Domino's with Shannon.
That was good times.
We just knew it was like, what are you getting? Pizza.
Yeah, we get Domino's.
Now I think like, again, I'm sure I'll get to that point, but maybe I won't. But like now, I'd rather have a burrito or a chicken I feel like you get to a point in the gaining phase where you almost start to just not give a shit. But for us, not giving a shit was having one pizza a week.
Yeah.
It wasn't just eating loads of shit. Like our food was still normal food. It was just a lot.
Yeah.
And then a pizza.
Yeah.
Whereas like now, I'm in that position where I think like my food's at a decent point now, and it'll likely get a bit higher throughout this phase, but probably not loads higher, just with like my expenditure.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think I'll in this off season be having Domino's on a Friday night.
Yeah.
I might as a one off if Shannon fancies it, but like I think most nights it'll be burrito. Most Fridays, because Friday's like mine and Shannon's night where we actually have a meal together, because we don't really have any of the food together all week. So for that Friday night, we'll get a burrito at the minute. And like, it is really nice. And it's not like, let's say, low calorie, obviously. Yeah. It's still fucking a decent amount of food. But like, compare that to like I was getting like a large Domino's, and like, we'd usually get like an ice cream as well.
It's mate,
like,
the large burrito is still a good amount of calories. So
yeah, it's decent. Like, but it is good, it's not a large Domino's and ice cream.
Like, and it's not shit food that's like...
No, it's a Domino's like, you feel good for it.
Yeah,
it
Domino's is horrendous. Like, it's probably, when it comes to actual like nutrient
quality as well,
probably the worst that you can pick. Yeah. Like, I'm a Domino's hater. That's why I think Pizza Hut's a bit better, because they're a little bit cleaner. They're just less heavy. They are when it comes to
still shit.
Yeah, there is worse. It is shit. It is. They're both shit when it comes to like actual nutrients.
Quality food. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think as well, like again, it's funny you said like me and Sanai, because we don't live together. We've never had really like a set. Like, I think we probably will go for a date night, but our date night never consists of food. And if it does, it's like always. We've never. I don't think we've ever had a pizza together. No, we've had one pizza together when we were in Edinburgh. That was like last year, like maybe 3-4 months after prep. But we've never gone out for pizza. Like, we've never gone out. We will go out and we'll get like a burrito. Or like we've been going to, like, we had a Chinese for Valentine's in Leicester, and that was good. Because I prefer to be able to, especially in it, like when I'm pulling back, but I prefer to be able to actually choose to have something that's like, okay, I'm not being a fat bastard.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those where like you can eat off plan and it can still resolve, obviously not in a prep based setting, but like let's say Josh Crogan, he eats off plan technically.
Easily, yeah.
Even in a prep, as long as you're not an idiot with the food choices. Yeah. And I think a lot of times, unfortunately, especially when you come out after the prep, your brain wants everything. You look at a menu and you're like, oh, I want that, I want that, I want that. But you'll be at that place 3 or 4 times and you can get that. Or you get it, you spend a bit, but you just have a few bits of it.
And you realise, you know? Like, oh, it's actually just food.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's one of those where, and as well, you actually want to look upon food, as I always say to clients and I say to myself, like, it is literally energy. And unfortunately, nowadays, we live in a society where everything is orientated around food. And also, bodybuilding accentuates like, that.
It
massively.
Is obviously just energy, but then people think, well, that means more food means that's going to be better.
Yeah, but, bro, more food equals more muscle. I want to get fucking jacked. Do you want to eat?
You end up having a stupid amount of food, and you don't, like, you end up having stomach issues, or you end up, like, basically fucking struggling to even train because your stomach's that full. Like,
that's one thing I've never understood. Like, as high as my food's been, and my food's been higher than like a lot like people, like really, really high, I've never thought to myself, like, you know when you hear people like, I woke up and I was full from the night before.
Yeah.
That's a myth. That ain't happening unless your digestive system
is
horrendous.
It's just
because they're binging the night before.
They're
getting in 3 meals and like 4,000 calories. Yeah. I remember I've said this on the podcast when I saw a girl once and I had 2 meals and it was 2 a.m. and I got the same amount of calories in McDonald's. And my stomach was doing cramps. I was about throwing up and passing out. My head was spinning. And I got in and I probably woke up the following day and I didn't want to eat. That would probably
be
the case.
Like, even if you're on 6,000 calories, let's say.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I've been on 5,500 before. And obviously I was pretty busy with like
100 grams of fat, mate.
I was
like
PTing.
600 grams of oats a day.
But like, even then, like, let's say you have maybe 5 meals. I have 4 meals at the minute. Let's say you have 5 meals. And your pre and your post workout are maybe like 1,500 calories each.
Yeah,
that's 3,000 calories. You've got 3,000 calories to get in through the rest of the day.
Oh yeah, 200 to 300 could be an intra.
Like, that's really not that difficult.
2,200 by, let's say, so 300 calories an intra or whatever, 200 calories. You've got 2,200 split between 3 meals.
It's really not.
That's
that
hard. Not hard. You know, that's not that challenging. But the problem is people wake up, they don't prep their meals, they're then rushing off to work, they're then stressed, then they're eating,
they've got 6,000 calories to get in.
Yeah, it's such a struggle. And also, at the same time, when it comes to calories, it's exposure upon those the spending that amount of time. Anybody can eat 6,000 calories, especially when you're hungry after a diet, but can you eat 6,000 calories consistently? And like things like, for example, cream of rice for me, I do not have that in the second that my food gets high, or even moderately high, because I've had off seasons before. I remember in 2022, literally, it was my second meal. We used to do 3 meals before I trained, and I was like, looking at it like, why can't I eat this? Like, I'm almost like rejecting it. And I was like, right, I should take it out. So like, it was literally a case where I was like, right, cool, swap it out. And I think it's one of those where you learned, like, my food choices won't ever change, really. My food choices have changed now just based off how low my food is, pretty much. But like, it will only change just based off, let's say, what sits best where it doesn't. And when food gets higher, you know what's going to sit well
with you. It's like when my food's lower, I'll have likely like more oats, more cream of rice, because you can volumize them a bit more, like a good amount more salad, more veg. And then when I'm on more food, like I'll take out cream of rice because it's a bit sickly and a bit sweet. Oats, the likelihood is I won't have a lot of them. Like if I'm going to have, I'm not going to have, let's say, oats pre-workout because I just feel sluggish.
No chance.
But like rice, jasmine rice, I could have 500 grams of it and I'd be sound. Like literally would be absolutely fine. Beef mince, absolutely fine.
We need to do a digestion tier list.
Yeah, we should. It's obviously dependent on the person, but I think most people are very similar.
Yeah.
Like, I've not heard anybody go, hey, mate, I'm having 250 grams of oats post-workout and it's sitting really well. Like, I've never heard that.
That would be... What's the carb source, do you reckon? I think it would be oats because there's fats involved. What's the food that, like, you have... If there's a food challenge, the least likely that you'd want to have
still need to do that oats.
Yeah. But what would you be... What would it be? Like, oats? Like, let's say you've got to get
I really like oats, but
200 gram of carb.
Like I have clients who are like having 150 grams of oats, and I'm like, "How are you having that?" Like I have like 85 grams as my rest day final meal, and like it's a decent sized bowl. It takes me a while to eat. Like people are having that 150 grams, like
I've never gone past 120. 120 was my final meal before, like pre bed for like maybe 2 to 3 months after prep, and like I think I went up to like I was like, "Oh, I'll go up to 140," and I was like, "No."
Yeah, like, I tried going up to like one. I think 125, and like. I ate it about an hour and a half before bed, and like my stomach when I went to bed, I could still tell like I could feel like my stomach was just full of the oats. And I was like, fucking hell, no chance.
This hasn't digested well, so usually you have 80 grams of oats and then if loads of like square bars,
just eat everything else
and stuff like that. So yeah, I remember like once like I was having to get like I think I got like a post workout meal of like I left my cereal at home and I had rice cakes and I had like 10 Snacker Jack rice cakes. That was vile. My stomach.
See,
was,
I'd be all right with that.
I was like at the end, I was like,
it's more so just the chewing. Volume. It's a lot of a
my
lot
jaw
of
was
chewing,
like legit pumped.
Legit
pumped.
Yeah.
What?
And you got a cock in your mouth.
No, I don't know about that, bro. We shouldn't speak about that on the podcast. Yeah,
sorry. Forgot we weren't supposed to say that.
Yeah.
All right. Should we wrap it up?
Should we do questions? Bye bye. See you in the next episode. Subscribe.